You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Mark DeShera, it's Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg. How are you, man?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me.
You know, we spend so much time analyzing sports. You know, we're talking about football, but not knowing what to expect with no preseason. Analyzing the baseball and the hockey playoffs and basketball playoffs and what's going on in baseball. How much do you think COVID-19 and the pandemic really does affect the standings? Like, do the Bucks get eliminated if it's not for COVID-19? Would the Giants and the Marlins be off to the starts they were off if it wasn't under these circumstances? How much should we factor in everything that's going on into the actual play on the field, the ice, and the court?
I think it's close to 50%, Don. I mean, it's tough. Like you said, it's tough to put an exact number or put an exact finger on it. But I just look at the volatility of baseball. You know, we'll see football. I thought yesterday's game was pretty clean. I watched a couple quarters last night. I mean, both quarterbacks, obviously, two of the most exciting players in the NFL. You know, they were playing a clean game. Football might be more normal because I kind of feel like the best football teams usually win. The best rosters usually win. I don't think the Bucks lose four out of five games in a series if they would have just kept playing. I don't think the Yankees are one game over 500 without COVID. There's certain teams out there that are going to get better as the season goes on, but COVID has a huge, you know, a ton to do with a lot of this volatility that you're seeing.
This is just a fun story. There are a couple, before we get to sort of the regular, mundane, sad life that is the Yankees injury report. We'll get there. But in the meantime, two things I wanted to ask you about. One was about the 29 runs scored by the Braves this week. Oof. But also, ESPN put out an article just now ranking the 100 most entertaining players in baseball, with Fernando Tatis being number one, Soto at two, and just curious about who you think are among the most entertaining players in the sport.
So I'll talk about the Braves real quick first. That Braves team is what we thought the Yankees team was going to look like. Just
right.
Pound you up and down the lineup, studs in the prime of their career. That's what we thought the Yankees lineup was going to look like. Obviously hasn't seen it, but man, that was fun to watch. Okay, now the most exciting players in baseball, to me, the list starts and ends with Fernando Tatis. They didn't ask me for that list of 100 players. If they would have, I would have put Fernando Tatis number one and then everybody else. He's that dynamic. He's that much fun to watch. When I flip through the stations at night, I kind of toggle between whatever game I'm watching or show I'm watching and the MLB Network, and they're always cutting to his at-bats. They're always cutting to a nice play he makes or him stealing a base. I mean, this guy is – he's everything that you would want in a superstar, and I would pay – just empty my wallet to watch this guy play for the next 10 years. He's that much fun.
It looks like after the best of three first round, we're going to see the playoffs go into a bubble. And the players are arguing the owner's stance that families will be allowed in, but they must quarantine for 7 days. So you'll basically be away from your family for a week. As a former player, is that something worth fighting the owners for? Or do you understand where the players are coming from?
I mean, I guess I understand where the players are coming from, but we've come so far. We're lucky that we're at this position. If you have to be away from your family for a little bit, it's not a big deal. I mean, it is so incredible how how much we have, the pendulum has swung. When I was a rookie, like, families weren't even allowed to hang around. I mean, right. Like, it was like, what's your wife doing near the clubhouse or near the stadium? It's, you know, now, and maybe it's better, I don't know. Now, it's if the families aren't with you at all times, you know, you can't play the game. So I understand where players are coming from because I think they've gotten used to it. They've gotten used to families having a ton of access. But, guys, you know, just suck it up for a couple weeks in the playoffs because you want this season to finish. We've come so far.
Right.
You know, let's make some sacrifices here.
See, to me, it almost seems like both sides are always itching for a fight. 7 days away from your family, you have road trips longer than that during the course of the season, Mark.
I hear you, Don. Listen, I have family and friends that serve in the military. I have nothing but respect for those guys. They're away from their families for 6 months at a time. They do not see their families for 6 months, and they're serving our country, and they're making a fraction of what Major League Baseball players are making. So I think we have to put things in perspective. I think we need a reality check here, and I think we need to suck it up a little bit and just kind of go with the flow and make sure that we're all being safe.
Speaking of all that, where were you 19 years ago today?
I was driving from – so I had just signed my contract with the Rangers. I got drafted in 2001. I was driving from my parents' home in Baltimore back down to Atlanta because I spent the entire off-season training in Atlanta after I got drafted. And then I think I want to say that Instructional League started like the last week of September, so I was going to work out for a couple more weeks. So I was driving, and I had a cell phone, but the coverage was terrible. I think I was somewhere in North Carolina or South Carolina, and my wife, we were dating at the time, called me and said, "Oh my gosh, did you hear?" And I was listening to CDs. I didn't have the radio on. And she told me, and by the time I got to Atlanta a couple hours later, I was glued to the television for the next 12 hours. I'll never forget that.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
The other bit of news from Yankee land, Peter was talking about the injuries, was Brian Cashman talking to the team. And he did that with you guys in 2009, and it worked. You guys had a big come-from-behind victory against the Braves, never looked back, won a championship. Your thoughts on the meeting this time around?
It was necessary. The difference, though, with this meeting and the meeting that we had in 2009 in Atlanta, which was a really important meeting for our team, is that we were healthy. You know, our team was whole. We just weren't clicking. And it was also, I want to say it was May, and we had 4 months left in the regular season. This is an injured team. You know, arguably two of your best players are on the shelf, hoping to come back. Your catcher, who's an all-star, can't hit. Your pitchers are hanging on by a thread, getting hurt all the time. So it's a different type of meeting. And when you look around that clubhouse and you see the guys that aren't on the roster, the reality of the situation is this team isn't as talented right now as the team we had in 2009. This team is, you know, when healthy, they're probably the most talented team in the American League, or at least one of the top three. But as it sits right now, they're not.
How do you feel if you're Boone? Are you sensitive to the fact that the general manager had to have the conversation, that you're not trusted to have it, or at least the perception that the conversations you're having aren't working?
Yeah, you know, Booney's in a tough spot. I think the toughest job in Major League Baseball is the manager of the New York Yankees. And maybe a close second is the Boston Red Sox. And if he's tough on the players and they don't respond, he's going to be too tough. If he supports the players, he's not tough enough. we can go round and round over what a GM should do, what a manager should do. The fact of the matter is you have significant amount of players, including James Paxton, who now may not be available for the rest of the season, that you have a significant amount of players that are hurt, and the guys that are healthy aren't playing that well. Gleyber Torres is, to me, a top 10 talent in baseball. He's not playing like it. Gary Sanchez is a top 5 catcher in baseball. He's not playing like it. Good to see Gardy hit a home run today, but Gardy's a guy that people look to. Hey, you need to be a spark plug. You need to get on base, and he hit 30 home runs last year between the regular season and the postseason. So, you can blame the manager or general manager all you want, but the fact of the matter is the players on the field are either hurt or not performing.
Mm. Well, they're winning today 5-0. They won the other day, so maybe everything is going to be okay in Yankee land.
Can I talk about some good news at least, guys?
Please.
Go ahead.
Let me talk about a little bit of good news. Tell me who the dominant team in the American League is. Who's that team that you're like, oh, man, they're just going to roll through the playoffs? And the answer is the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Rays. The A's. I mean, I see a lot of good teams. I don't see a dominant team. So
no.
My point is, the Yankees get healthy. Davey Garcia, to me, is your third starter in the playoffs. If you can roll out Gerrit Cole, Masahiro Tanaka, and Davey Garcia with a healthy Stanton, a healthy Judge, Torres gets hot. This team's just as good as anybody in the American League, and I think they have to focus on getting healthy. Having some of these other guys hit their stride, and they have as good of a shot as anybody to win the American League.
Yeah, I mean, Michael's been saying that. My only thing that I would say is, with everybody back healthy, is they still kind of have to prove they can do it in the postseason, because the last couple of years, forget 2017 because that was a year early, but 2018, 2019, I think were disappointments for when they not going to the World Series. So is there something they have to overcome there where that unit's got to prove that they can make a long run?
Yeah, you're right, Don, and this might actually be the perfect season for the Yankees to make that long run and build their confidence. With that first 2 out of 3, when the Yankees started, I think they were 12-2 or something crazy. I mean, they got off to an amazing start. I'm saying, oh man, it's too bad they have to play the 8th seed at 2 out of 3 games, because that 8th seed happens to be the Indians or the Blue Jays or someone that's an upstart team that can knock them off. Now it's like the opposite. Now it's the Yankees might be the 6, 7, 8 seed, and all they have to do is win 2 out of 3, knock off one of the best teams in baseball. Now your confidence is raised. It's almost better this year to be in that bottom half of the bracket and feel like, hey, I wouldn't have gotten in. I'm playing with house money. Let me, let me get a little bit of momentum here and start winning.
But just be careful, because make sure you clinch it early enough, because if you've got to play meaningful games on that final Friday, Saturday, or Sunday with 3 consecutive games in the postseason, if you've got to pitch Cole on that last day of the season to get in, then all of a sudden your big $350 million man's not going to be available to you.
You're exactly right, and that's why if Yankee fans really want to focus on a series, watch this series right now, because if you can beat the Orioles 3 or 4 games in a row, now you have a chance to separate yourself a little bit. And I can't believe I'm even saying these words, but guarantee that you're not going to get left out of the playoffs.
Right.
But you have to take care of business against the Orioles here.
Mark, enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Always fun, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.